All right, time for the final hour. Darren Donick and Chase. Willie Donick, Chase McCabe here with you. Darren is on vacation this week. He's missing a lot of fun stuff. I'm sure he's enjoying himself. He actually made a cameo on the show last hour. I know a guy that is very busy right now. His name is Elliot Friedman, and we're really pleased to have him for a couple of minutes here. Elliot, with the compression of the offseason here, normally it's busy enough at this time of the year for you, but when you combine the draft, the buyouts, and now free agency starting tomorrow on the heels of just crowning the Stanley Cup champion, have you ever experienced a whirlwind like this?
This one's up there. There's no question about it. I got to tell you, like, normally you get a few days, and now with only, 48 hours between the end of the draft and the start of free agency, it seems crazy. Like, there's always a lot going on at this time of year, but now it seems like there's more, and I think also adding to it is the uncertainty of the situation. I think there's some guys who really worry that they're going to get squeezed, so they're being extra aggressive trying to market themselves out there. And it's a wild time. There's no question about it.
Well, the Predators were right in the middle of a lot of this stuff, some very, very big things. Let's start with the draft. Give us your thoughts. Yeah. I know it's not your area of expertise per se, but what are the people around you saying about their decision to draft Yaroslav Askarov with the first round pick? It's a very intriguing pick, to say the least.
Well, the number one thing I can say is that a lot of people really like the player. So at the end of the day, do people like the player or not? And a lot of people like the player. Like, Nashville drafted a guy who, a lot of people really like. I think that there's always a risk in how high you draft a goalie. People knew he was going to go somewhere from... Everyone believed he wasn't getting past Carolina at 13 and that he was going somewhere from 4 to 13. And everyone believed that he's a really talented guy and he deserved where he went. It just came down to, was there an organization that people really felt was going to be a bit thin on goaltending and they were going to go out and get him? And... I think that New Jersey was definitely one of those teams that everybody was considering. Detroit was another one of those teams that everyone was considering. And maybe not on that level, but just right below was Nashville. Like, on the list of teams that people said ahead of Carolina that might take him, Nashville was on that list. Maybe not number one, but probably as high as number three. And so when you guys did it, I wasn't overly surprised, and a lot of people thought it was a fit. It made sense.
Do you think, we've heard a lot of people go out and say, listen, I haven't seen a goalie this talented at this age since X. Carey Price was thrown out there. A lot of guys, I mean, he seems to be not your normal best goalie available. But I think at age 17 – and the fact that he's already in the KHL, that says something. And it's going to be a long time before he ends up even coming over to North America. So I just think it's a really intriguing thing, because you have to try to forecast several years in the future before he can really help you, especially with a goalie.
Well, I think that that's one of the reasons that you guys kind of thought you could do it. Rene's getting older. It's getting close to the end. You still have Saros. You have a prospect Ingram in Milwaukee. So it's not like it's an immediate organizational need, but when you look top to bottom, A, you have an opening for it, and B, the guy's a real talent. And I'm a big believer in, you take the best player and then you figure out where it all works. Now, if you look at Minnesota, one of your division rivals, they drafted a kid, Kaprizov, a few years ago. He wasn't as high. He was a later pick. But they always knew that he was going to be staying in Russia for a few years. And it hasn't changed how excited they are about him. It hasn't changed how good they think he can be. If anything, they're more excited to have him. So that's one way you have to look at it. I think the only concern I would have for him as a goalie, and you saw this with Bobrovsky, is that when you come from Europe and the European-sized ranks, and you come to Canada, to North America, it's a lot different to play golf. Number one, the angles are all different because the boards are closer. And number two, in Europe, they don't play with as much traffic in front and crash the net as they do here in North America. And it took Bobrovsky a little time to figure it out. And when he did, he became a stud. So I think that the only thing the only minor negative is, it just takes a little longer for him to get over to North America and get used to the way we play.
Elliot, the Predators made a big trade yesterday, trading Nick Bonino with a second and a third for Luke Cunningham and a fourth within the division, which is pretty intriguing. But first, yeah. give us your assessment of Luke Cunningham, what you know about him, what he will bring to the table for the Predators.
Well, whenever I would do a game with Luke Cunningham, and I did several playoffs with him over the years at Hockey Night earlier this year with Vancouver, is it always seemed like there was somebody who wanted to punch him in the face. And that's probably a good thing because that means that you are driving people crazy. So he's one of those guys. He's a bit of a pest. He can get under your opponent's skin. He's good at that. And I don't think anybody ever has a problem with that kind of thing. I think the one thing about a lot of those guys in Minnesota is that's a really veteran team where the veterans had a lot of the biggest roles. You know, on defense, you know, Suter's the number one guy. He's not going anywhere. At forward, you know, Staal was a high-level guy. Parise was a high-level guy. And I think that a lot of those minutes got taken by the veterans. And I think there are some younger guys who wanted more or needed that carrot of better opportunity to see if they could take the next level. And I think Cunningham is one of those guys, or Cunningham is one of those guys. I just think that he needs an opportunity to show, can he get to the next level? And he's going to get that in Nashville. I think that the ability for him to get in some spots wasn't as there in Minnesota. I think the opportunity will be there here with the Predators.
So when you look at the trade as a whole, and it's coupled with the Kyle Turris buyout.
Yeah.
First, let's start with the trade. What do you think about the price that the Predators paid to get Cunningham?
Well, I mean, Minnesota wanted Bonino. Like, what I think is that David Poile is sending a message that he wants to change. He wants to change his group. That, for whatever reason, last year, it got stale, and he wants that to change. You know, Nick Bonino had value. He's a year away from unrestricted free agency. He probably wasn't going to be re-signed in Nashville. I get it. And, you know, Cunningham's the kind of player, a young player, you take a chance on. Like I said, you know, you're looking at him and you're saying, can we get him to the next level? And, you know, that he's going to get the opportunity. To me, this is all part of a bigger picture. You guys are clearing money. He's trying something. And I'm one of the believers that he's going to take a run at Taylor Hall. I absolutely think he's going to do that. Your roster screams that you need a left-hand shot right now. I think he's going to do that, and if not, I think he's going to look elsewhere. But I just get the sense that he's clearing money for a reason, and it's to try something.
Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet is with us. So you just mentioned the name that everybody's been asking about. So you do believe that the Predators are going to be in on Taylor Hall?
I do. Now, I think it's complicated. Because, you know, I think Taylor Hall has sent out some pretty interesting signals. I think winning and a winning situation is very important to him. Like, I don't know if he wants to do it. There's been some reports about a 1 or 2 year deal. I don't know if I buy that, guys. I think he's willing to take a shorter term deal, but I don't know if 1 or 2 years is it, like maybe 3 or 4. I still think he's going to want a reasonably big number, but the fit is going to matter. And, I just think that what David Poile's done this week, and I think he tried to trade Turris. I think he looked at situations around the league where other teams might be wanting a change of scenery for their player, and he proposed it. Say, okay, what if we change? What if we trade you our change of scenery guy for your change of scenery guy? I just think that Turris's term scared a lot of people away. I do. I think the 4x6 was a big issue. I think sometimes a lot of the guys that, you know, you were talking about maybe had a bit less term, and other teams just didn't like that. So he tried, it didn't work, so now you go to the next thing. But he's clearing for flexibility, and I just think that you're going to pitch Hall. There's a limit to what you can do, but you're going to pitch him.
So, and you mentioned Kyle Turris. I don't think anybody was really surprised that that's how this was going to end. You mentioned trying to trade him $2 million a year for, I believe it's the next 8 years, to buy him out. Seemed like the lesser of two evils.
I just, you know, like, the thing I'm just hearing a lot is that David Poile believed that it got stale. And, you know, I'll tell you something. I had a long talk with someone about Turris. And we've talked about this. Like, I'm a big Turris guy. I've said it on the show before. 2017, when Ottawa went Game 7, double overtime of the Eastern Conference Final against Pittsburgh, just before you guys traded for him, you know, he was unbelievable. He was so great for Ottawa. He was incredible. And I don't know what happened, but I finally had a long conversation with someone about him, and he just said, like, for whatever reason, Nashville felt Turris lost his edge. I don't know if he got too comfortable. I don't know if his body was beaten up. I don't know what it was. I don't have an answer for you, but, you know, like, that, it's just, he wasn't the same. He wasn't the guy and that he was in Ottawa. And I think if you're trying to change your group and you think your group is stale, you have to sometimes do things that you don't like to do to change it. And I think that David Poile's message is saying, yeah, it didn't work. I don't like this guy on the cap for 8 years, but we had to do something to move on. And look, like, I'm not convinced that you know, like, Craig Smith did a lot of great things for the Predators. Michael Granlund, talented player. But you just had to send a message that the status quo was not acceptable anymore. And there's hard moves to make, and there's easier moves to make in terms of the ability to make them. And I just think that these moves were easier to make in the sense that what you could do, and it's Poile's way of saying things are going to change here.
Do you ever think that there was a possibility that he could move Johansson or Duchesne? Because the rumor was out there that he wanted to move some of the money. Obviously, we saw the buyout, but do you think that that was ever on the table?
Well, I told you last week that I think you had every forward on your team was available, and I believe
right.
that. Now, I don't think that, like, I think some would have been much less available than others, but I think everybody knew that everyone was kind of out there. So I would say, yes, I do believe it. You know, it's just tough. It's like, you know, money's tight right now. People are being really careful. It's hard to move a contract like Duchesne. It's hard to move a contract like Johansson's. And Nashville's hardly alone in this. There's a lot, like, Tampa Bay is trying to clear cap space. It's not easy on them. Vegas is trying to clear cap space. It's not easy on them. I mean, teams are really grinding now. If you want us to do it, what are you going to do for us? And I would bet you that that the buyout, in terms of the buyout, only happened with Turris because either A, everyone said no, or B, what Poile would have had to give up to do it was worse than a buyout.
This team's obviously trying to get younger with some of the prospects that could be playing next year. The cap space we've talked about, of they've cleared some money, they could make a run at Hall, but I am curious of your thoughts of a low risk type signing, like a Bobby Ryan. If it's a 1 year, $1 million, yeah, similar to what they've done in the past with other players, is he, number one, what's left in the tank for Bobby Ryan? And two, could you see him fitting with this group here in Nashville?
I could. I mean, I think Bobby Ryan wants. People have told me they heard that he wants to go back home to like the Philadelphia area. That is his preference. I don't know if that's possible, but that's kind of what we're talking about here. I think there's going to be, like, the thing about Ryan is he's shown real flashes. Guy's been through an awful lot. You know, in his life, and like he's a great guy to talk to, and I think there's a desire there to start again. Like he signed that big contract in Ottawa, and you can tell right away that the pressure on him was enormous, and he really felt it. I think a low pressure, low contract situation would be excellent for him. I think he wouldn't mind going back to the Philly area. I do think, though, guys, there's going to be a lot of players who feel the squeeze. There's going to be some real bargains out there. Some players who say, look, I want a contract. I'm going somewhere, wherever I can get a contract, and I'm not taking the chances. So I think, like, if you're patient or you're going to find guys out there that you say, you know what, I just got this guy at a really good deal.
I agree with you, and that's it's good to be a team that has some cap space, which is where the Predators are right now. Elliot, as we let you go, quickly, I heard David Poile in his media availability come out and say, I'm going to start looking at the defenseman for free agency to maybe shore up the bottom half of his defense pairs. Is there any name that pops into your head that could be a fit?
Is he looking for a right or left shot? You guys know?
That's a good question. I mean, the third pair, I think, is completely, you know, up in the air. I mean, Tenorti could be obviously a part of that, but I think it could be either one.
I'm going to say off the top of my head, right shot, but I'm not sure.
Well, I mean, like, if you're looking for a left shot guy, Borowiecki, who played in Ottawa, I think there's a few teams that are going to be looking at him. I think Florida's looking at him. I think Toronto's looking at him. You know, he's a guy I could see, but he's a left shot. Righties, I mean, there's going to be a – I mean, Tanev is probably bigger than the price point you're looking at. Brody is probably bigger than the price point you're looking at. There's going to be a few righties. You know, one guy I'm curious about to see where he ends up, I know Toronto was interested, now I'm not so sure, is Radko Gudas, who played in Philly and then Washington. You know, he's a guy, he's battled a lot of injuries, but he plays hard. Like, he really plays hard. And, again, it probably depends on what he wants, but that's a guy that I think is really interesting out there. And there's two guys who weren't qualified yesterday. One is Troy Stetcher from Vancouver, and the other is Matt Benning from Edmonton. The teams weren't crazy about the numbers they could get in arbitration, but those were financial decisions. Those are good players. Hmm. And I think there's going to be interest in the two of those guys as well. And they can definitely play third pair and maybe a little bit higher in a pinch.
That might be the ideal profile. Third pair, but maybe could move up as insurance for Dante Fabro if it's a fit with Ekholm. I think that might be the profile right there. Elliot,
well,
great stuff.
I think those are the kinds of guys you're going to be looking for. Yeah.
Good stuff. I know you got to run. I know you're busy. Thank you so much for the time, as always, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, guys. Have a great week.
All right. Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet Hockey Night in Canada. His world is going to be very busy here and has been already this week. Same with us. Same with David Poile. And we're going to join him at 1:30. So let's step away and come right back with Darren Donick and Chase.